If you have your Bibles, if you will please turn with me to the book of Ephesians, chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, and we'll be reading verses 1 through 10. Hear now the word of God. And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. The grass withers, the flower falls, but God's word abides forever. Amen. Please be seated. And we pray that, let us pray and ask for the Lord's blessing now, the preaching of his holy word. Father in heaven, we do come before you. And once again, we are indebted to you for your grace, even that grace that we enjoy today. We know that it is in you that we live and we move and we have our being. And that not only us, but all mankind, that is true. That we live in the sphere in relations to you. But we thank you also, Father, for giving your Son and sending the Spirit and granting unto us that not only are we in you, but we are in Christ. And we thank you, O Lord, for the blessings that that includes, the grace that has been extended to us. And we pray that you would enable us today, by your grace, to comprehend with all the saints what your purposes are for us as individuals and as the church of God. Enable us, O Lord, to see Jesus in a new and even a clearer way, and what he has accomplished for us, and what he is doing for us and in us even now, and what he will do in the future. And we thank you, O Holy Spirit, for being here and being our teacher and guiding us into all truth. And we pray that you would do that work in us today, that using words, words that bring life, that build up and strengthen, words that also challenge us and rebuke us and reprove us and correct us in the ways that we should live and walk. We ask that you would open our ears to hear what you are saying to us today through your word. We ask this now for your glory's sake. In Christ's name, amen. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, what is man's greatest work of art? What would you say? When you think of what man has accomplished, and you were to say, okay, what are the greatest works of art? When I say those terms, the first thing that comes to my mind is paintings. I don't know about you. I don't know why it is that way. But Are there great works of art that are paintings? And the answer is yes, at least as we define them. How many of you own a great work of art in your home? Probably not many, if any. We have to go to great museums to see what are determined to be great works of art. What makes a particular painting a great work of art? What about architecture? There used to be what was the term called the seven great wonders of the world. Unfortunately, all seven of those wonders no longer exist. They're all destroyed. And yet there are many modern works of art, of architecture, great and tall buildings. My wife was traveling on her way down to South Africa, and she was in Dubai on a holdover, and there is supposedly the largest or the tallest building in the world. There are great modern cities, great architecture. These are works of art. For some, maybe when I talked about works of art, you started to think about music. What is it about certain kinds of music that are being appreciated multi-generations later? There is a lot of music out there today. A lot of the music that is out there today will not be listened to 50 to 100 years from now. Some of it will. Some of it will become classic. For those of you that are in my generation, we have classic rock. We were alive when it first came out on those little 45. Remember those? Now they're classic rock. But there's a lot of music that we listened to back then that you never hear played on any classic rock station. Wasn't that good. But yet there is some music that stands the test of time. Why? Those are work of art. Those are masterpieces. Why is it Handel's Messiah is so well loved and listened to? Is it just because of the content? Yeah, I think the content is part of it. It is a work of art. What about technology? Can we say that technology is a work of art? It's a work of man. We think of technology as something that's more useful, but in some sense, it is beautiful. Imagine, again, the telephone. Alexander Graham Bell, as the first communication over that telephone, he stated, "What has God wrought?" Imagine that. Even though man created the telephone, the first words that were stated by the creator of the telephone was, "What has God wrought?" He acknowledged that God enabled him to create this, that it was God's masterpiece. What would life be like? What is your life like without this? This is just a wireless telephone, isn't it? This has impacted our lives. We can't live without it. You know, what is the average, how do people look today? This is where you see people. Have you noticed that? You go to places and they're not looking up or around. They're looking down. Why is that? Even when this isn't around, they're still looking down. The new posture of mankind. The technology. We have such great gifts that we can enjoy the graphics, the virtual worlds that are created, and the dangers of entering in and never leaving those worlds. Computer games and the internet and ways that we can misuse a beautiful tool, a beautiful work, but this can be misused as well. But what is the greatest work of art in all creation? I talked about different kinds that man has created. But what about God? What is God's greatest work of art? As you look in nature, you might say, wow, the creation itself and the vast galaxies. Or you might look down and look at an ant or look at plants or you can look at a sunset, a beautiful sunset or so on. Is that God's greatest work of art? They're beautiful to behold. What is God's greatest work of art? Well, according to the scriptures, it is you. It's individual human beings. Why? Because we are created in the image of God. We read in Genesis 1 that the crown of creation was the creation not of animals or birds or fish, but of man and woman. We read earlier in our devotion of Psalm 8 that mankind is created and stands above all of creation and has been given dominion over the works of God's hand, under God. Individuals created in the image of God, and especially the body of Christ, is God's great masterpiece. The proposition is in the outline in the bulletin. As you take in the expansive beauty of creation, you behold the magnificent wisdom and power of God, the master artist. From his painting with light and life. And just stop and think about that. I've been meditating on that particular point, waking up in the morning and seeing clouds in the sky. You know, that's kind of rare in Southern California. You know, usually there's no clouds in the sky. But when there's clouds in the sky and the sun begins to rise, all of a sudden you see these various colors on the clouds. And as I stand or sit and look at that, I am in awe of the master painter who is painting on that canvas of that cloud. And it's only there for a moment, only there for a few seconds, and then it's gone. How much throughout all the day that God is painting all around the world at the sunrise, on clouds. Even more interesting is how God paints with life. The lives that we live and move and have our being in Him paint, display the life of God, who is life. And so as we live and move, we reflect or project the life that God has given us. He paints with light. He paints with life. Notice also the marvelous interconnected workings of each living being, not only within our bodies individually, but how we interact and connect with one another. From the vast galaxies and the music of the spheres, God has revealed himself in ways too overwhelming to describe. And yet we are his greatest work of art. And through Jesus Christ, we have been redeemed from the awful effects of sin, restored to usefulness in his hand, and called to live according to who we are in Christ. And so let us consider this work of art. So if we're going to talk about a work of art or a masterpiece, we probably should define what art is. What is art? Well, Aristotle defined art as the capacity to make. Pretty broad statement. The capacity to make. Well, that, or create. That can be anything. Dante, in his writings, stated that art is work the ground and take care of it. That's how he defined art. Where did he get that from? Work the ground and take care of it. Does that sound? Is there anything in the Bible that says that? Genesis chapter 2, verse what? Verse 15. God created man and placed him in the garden to do what? To work the ground and to take care of it. So Dante understood that that was what art is. By working with your hands or working the ground, by doing the things that God has placed in your care, you are creating art. You are an artist. Artists are not just certain kinds of weird, strange people that we joke about. I have a son that I say he's artsy fartsy. He's very gifted in, he can do things with a pencil that, and drawing that I will never in my life be able to do. He is very gifted in that. But all of us, in that sense, make things. All of us take what is given to us and we work with it. So in that sense, we are artists. We are producing works of art. Leland Ryken says, art is something that heightens our awareness of reality. In other words, art is taking something in reality and causing us to see it even more clearly or see it from a different perspective. It's using the gifts that God has given to us created in his image. So his work of art, notice in our text, verse 10 of Ephesians chapter 2, notice what Paul writes. We are his workmanship. The Greek word is poema, where we get the word poem. We are his work of art. We are his masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Notice that. We are his work of art, created in Christ Jesus. Paul is particularly focusing in on the believers, on those he's writing to. As we have seen so far, as we have been working our way through the book of Ephesians, we have been taught concerning the blessings of God in Christ. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him. Here Paul declares the work of the Father. What is the first step that an artist must take in order to create a work of art? I would propose to you, it's not necessarily gathering the material. There's something that needs to come before that. What is it? There has to be a purpose. The artist has to say, I want to create such and such, and then I need this material and this time and this energy and these tools or whatever to be able to create it. You first have to say, what do you want to do with it? It's the first step. The artist must have a purpose or a goal. Well, what about the Father? Did the Father have a purpose and a goal in creating you? And the answer is yes. That's what Paul says. Just as he chose, he purposed in Christ before creation, he determined that we should exist and be holy and without blame before him in love. He predestined us to adoption as sons and daughters by Jesus Christ to himself. The Father determined, purposed, had a goal from eternity to create a work of art called the church, the people of God in Christ. And then Paul goes on to say, and that work of art is in Christ. Notice that statement. In Christ, verse 3. In him, verse 4. In him, verse 7. In the beloved, verse 6. And on and on and on. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Notice that redemption in the Son. The Son is the key. It's in him that work of art, that masterpiece, is found. And then finally, notice, beginning in verses 11 through 14, the personal involvement of God by the Holy Spirit. the indwelling and sealing, the permanent participation, involvement of the Spirit of God in the work of sanctification. We talked about that a little bit earlier when we looked at the Belgic Confession of Faith, the work of completion, that work of art will be complete and perfect. How do you know? Because he who has begun a good work in you will complete it. He is working. He is personally involved. He indwells. We are told that he doesn't leave us. He doesn't forsake us. He is involved personally in our lives. That work of art created in Christ Jesus. So what's unique, and this is the second point, what's unique about his work of art? Well, again, we have to step back and go back into history, going all the way back to Genesis chapters 1 and 2. We could say that the first aspect of his great work is that we are uniquely created. Again, we are created in the image of God. In some ways, you could say we are fine art or high art as opposed to folk art or decorative art. There is something special about mankind. As I said in Psalm 8, God created mankind a little lower than the angels, but above everything else. There's something unique. And notice again in chapter 1, according to the good pleasure of his will. God created us unique, special, and yet we understand Genesis chapter 3, what happened? Man fell. How far did he fall? Deeply fallen. Greatly fallen. We say that according to what Paul says in chapter 2, verse 1, he's dead. We are dead in trespasses and sins. We are separated from God. We are lost. We are under the domain or dominion of Satan in the kingdom of darkness. The reign and the rule, as Paul says, of the principalities and powers of the air. Or to read it, we once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once conducted ourselves in the desires of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. And so though uniquely created, we have fallen greatly or deeply. And if God doesn't intervene, physical death and eternal death will be the result. Praise God for verse 4 in chapter 2, as we looked at last week. On the contrary, God, because of his mercy, his great love, he made us alive. Not only are we uniquely created, deeply fallen, but greatly restored in Christ. We are a new creature. The new creation is now evident in the old, in the work of regeneration, of new life in Christ. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And so the greatness, the uniqueness of the artwork of God, the masterpiece of God, is this restoration. There are two kinds of people walking around on the earth today. Dead men and living men. Dead women and living women. Those in Christ or those in Adam. And that great work of restoration has begun and is being accomplished in the believer's life and will be completed when he's finished. The amazing thing about this work of art, though, is it's a work of art that he's working through to create works of art. I hope that you take that away today. In other words, you are a work of art through which he is working in order to create works of art. And there are many different ways that that work is expressed. Again, look at our text. For we are his work of art, his masterpiece, his poema, created in Christ Jesus. That was the second point. For good works that God has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. When did God prepare beforehand that we should walk in them? Was it 5 minutes ago? Was it an hour ago? No. Paul says earlier, before the foundations of the earth. God had a purpose for your life. God has a purpose for your life. He has determined from eternity the good works that you are to do today and tomorrow and the next day. He is creating you to be that work of art, but he is also creating through you those good works, those works of art. Remember what we defined art as, or Aristotle, the capacity to make or create. And so the things you make with your time, with your talents, with your energy, those things, God says, through Paul, are good works that God has purposed, that God has prepared before him. God has created you anew. If you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, he has created you anew for good works. We are in the hands of God like clay. Where did I get that? Is that in the Bible? The Bible talk about God being a potter? God talk about us being like clay? Where's that? Romans? Jeremiah? More than one place. God is the potter. We are the clay. And he molds and he shapes those pots, those vessels for honor. But the amazing thing again is we are both the clay pot and the artists that are shaping clay pots. We impact one another, don't we? The Lord uses us as a tool as well as creates in us a work of art. For those of you who are used to working on cars or working on mechanical things, guys in the audience in particular, what happens if you're working on something on your car or on something and you don't have the right tool? Something that could take 2 seconds takes 10 hours. And sometimes there's many bruises and cuts in the process if you don't have the right tool. And then when you get the right tool, it's like, wow, that was easy. Or for those of you that know how to cook, it's been interesting this week with my wife now in South Africa, how little I know how to cook, how much I'm dependent on her. What happens when you don't have the right ingredient when you need it, when you're cooking? And you go to, and you think you have it, and you go and, oh no, I don't have vanilla. I don't have this. I don't have that. I need it right now, and I don't have it. What do you do? Oh, I can't run to the store. I'll go to a neighbor. Maybe a neighbor have it, right? You've been there, done that? Or you need the right tool, the right pot, pan, whatever. There's the right one and the wrong one. I'm in an area where I'm not really an expert. Like I said, I'm not. There's some error, but I think I can relate, right? The right tool, the right ingredient at the right time is essential, isn't it? It makes work easy, and without it, it makes life very difficult. So another way of thinking about it is not only is a tool useful, but in one sense, it is a work of art. It is a masterpiece. That particular snap-on tool, that particular ingredient at that particular time is as appreciated as a work of art on a wall. God is creating us to be a work of art, but also a tool in his hand. And like Paul says, prepared beforehand those good works that we should conduct our lives in them. We are created to be a tool in the hands of God that affects other clay pots, other clay. One author writes, art is God-given capacity to make things. And he goes on to say, his name is V, said, every occupation therefore involves art. There's product or there's a service. You're working at McDonald's. Can you be an artist at McDonald's? Yes, there is a service that you do. You're a student at school. Can you be an artist? Is there a work of art that you can do? And the answer is yes. If you're writing a report, have you ever thought of a report as a work of art? That particular task that you've been given to do, do you do it to the glory of God? Do you do it to please God? Or do you do it just to get an A? Or just to pass a class to get out of that class? Why are you doing that particular, writing that paper, that report? We are called to live to the glory of God. Whether we eat or we drink or do all to the glory of God. Can you play a video game to the glory of God? Yes. Can you misuse that video game? Yes. Can you use a tool to the glory of God? Yes. Can you misuse that tool to the glory of God? Can you take an ingredient and use it to the glory of God in baking something? Yes. Can you misuse that by putting a little bit too much? Yes. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, recreated anew in Christ Jesus unto good work. Reichen in his book, Windows on the World, speaking about reading literature, says this. Scripture tells us the people are created in the image of God. This means, among other things, that they have the ability to make something beautiful and to delight in it. Okay, there's another aspect that I haven't talked about. Delighting in what you make. He goes on, this is the biblical aesthetic. Thus, when we enjoy the beauty of a sonnet or the magnificent artistry of an epic or a fictional inventiveness of a novel, he's talking about reading literature in particular, we are enjoying a quality of which God is the ultimate source and performing an act similar to God's enjoyment of the beauty of His own creation. Have you ever stopped and thought about that? That God enjoys the beauty of His own creation, and that when we enjoy the beauty of creation, we are enjoying the greatness of God. God, read it again. God is the ultimate source in performing an act similar to God's enjoyment of the beauty of His own creation. To the question, how do we read literature to the glory of God? And you can say, how do we write a paper to the glory of God? How do we drive a truck to the glory of God? How do we sell product to the glory of God? How do we cook a meal to the glory of God? You fill in the blanks. He says, by enthusiastically enjoying the artistic beauty of that which you're doing, recognizing God as the ultimate source of the beauty that we enjoy. The way to show gratitude for a gift is to enjoy it. I like that. The way to say thank you for a gift is to enjoy that gift. Do you enjoy the abilities that you've been given? I broke a rule the other day. For the first time in 37 years, I took a hot shower and I did not say thank you, God, for that hot shower. And I caught myself. I said, I forgot to say thank you for that hot shower. Do you say thank you for the hot shower? Do you say thank you that you are vertical rather than horizontal? Are you thankful that you are not paralyzed from the neck on down, as some are? We don't think about those things until we lose them, right? And then all of a sudden, oh, and then if they're restored, then we are thankful. That's the point. God has given us the abilities, these great abilities. Do we stop and say thank you? Do we appreciate it? And then do we say thank you by using them to the glory of God? Our time, our energy, Again, the text says that we are created for good works, which God has prepared before that we should walk in them. God has prepared for today, this time, this place, and later on today and tomorrow for us to do good works according to His standard, for His glory, motivated by the love of God, love for God, and God's love for us. What a great privilege we have. What a great blessing we have. And my prayer is that we're aware of that. You're aware of that. Whatever you're doing, not only are we to do it to the glory of God, but as Reichen is saying, man, we should enjoy it. We should find pleasure in serving God because He finds pleasure in us. What a wonderful statement, isn't there? One author wrote, what God chooses, He cleanses. What God cleanses, He molds. What God molds, He fills. And what God fills, He uses for His glory. Is that you? Are you His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works? What a privilege. What a blessing. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we do thank You for the work of Your Spirit, applying the work of Christ in fulfillment of the purposes of the Father from all eternity. We thank You, O Lord, that You have begun that good work, will complete it until the day of Christ. And we pray that You would help us to become even more aware of what You are doing in us and what You have called us to do as instruments in Your hand. The right tool. Help us to see that. We are the right tool in many situations at the right time. Help us, O Lord, to be aware of. Grant unto us the boldness to be useful, what not hindered by what others think. To speak the truth in love, to be the truth in love, to love even those who are fighting against themselves and You. Pray that You would do that work in us that You have ordained from all eternity. And we pray that You would help us to walk worthy of that calling in humility, by faith, resting and trusting in You. Help us to be aware and help us to appreciate and rejoice in the beauty that You are doing in our lives, working in us and working through us. We ask these things now in Jesus' name. Amen.